Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Pei, daf Chav Gimel, and we are starting at the very top of the Amud, and the Vilna Sura daf is just about in the middle of Yod Gimel Amud Aleph with the words of Yeshua ben Levi. And today's daf is sponsored Lili Nishmas Marsh Miriam Sarah Basab Yaakov Maisha. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue with a similar theme that we left off with yesterday. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, the pasuk could have said Alehem, but instead it said Va'alehem. The pasuk could have said the word Kol, but instead it said the word Kichol. And lastly, the pasuk could have said the word Devarim, but instead it said the word Hadavar. Let's just quote this pasuk. It says, "Vayitan Hashem Elias shnei luchas ha'avanim." Hashem gave me the two luchas of stone, kesuvim be'etzba alekim, written with the finger of Hashem. Va'alehem kichol hadvarim asher dibar Hashem machem bahar mitaycha esh be'makol. So the pasuk says, "Va'alehem on them it was written kichol hadvarim." But the pasuk didn't have to have these extra letters. The pasuk could have written alehem kol dvarim. So what do we learn from these extra letters? Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Vagada. When we're dealing with any of these topics, afilu masha Talmud vasik asid lahiris. Rabbi, even that which a Talmud Vasek, which means a very conscientious Talmud, a Talmud that sits and steigs, even what he's going to end up being Mechadesh in front of his Rebbe way later on, many years after Matan Torah, Kvar Nemar L'Moshe B'Sinai, we learn that all that was said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And Matan, what's the source for that? This is a pasuk in Koheles. Yesh davar shiyomar re'ezeh chadashu v'goymer. There is something of one which might say, see, this is new, as in Divrei Torah. Someone might say, wow, what a chiddush. You just came up with a brilliant chiddush in Torah that has never been heard before. But Meshivi Chaveri Va'emerlai, his friend responds to him and says, now this is the continuation of the pasuk, Kvar hayo la'ilamim, it was already around la'ilamim, meaning this chiddush existed at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning it was all said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And now going back to what we had said yesterday in regards to a person planting their field with two different strains of wheat. And we had said that in such a situation, it depends what his kavana is when he's harvesting the field. If he harvests the field with intent for it to be one gairin, he's going to process it all at once, so then there's only one peya that needs to be left. But if he intends to have it two granos, meaning he's going to process it in two separate times, two separate places, so then we need to have two peyas left. And we had said that that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Now the Gemara tells us, Reb Ze'ero says, b'shem Shmuel, ein l'meidin lo min halachas, lo min agadas, lo min ha-tosafos. We're not allowed to learn anything from a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, from Haggadah, from Tosafos, which is really Tosefdos, el min ha-talmud. The only thing we're allowed to learn from is Talmud, which is Gemara, which means if we have halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, we can't take that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and say, oh, it applies to somewhere else as well. We can only do that with Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Tani Rav Chalafta ben Shaul, hi shnei minei chitin, hi shnei minei sa'irin. This halacha of a person planting their field with two different types of wheat, and depending on what his kavana is when he's harvesting it, depends if we're going to tell him that he needs to leave one pay or two payos. So that same thing applies to barley. It's not limited to wheat. Now this is a problem, because we just said that we're not allowed to learn from halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And this halacha of shnei minei chitin is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So how could Rav Chalafta ben Shaul say that it applies to barley as well? So the Gemara answers on Rav Ze'era, kachos halacha biyadam. This was actually the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that they had. The halacha l'moshe m'Sinai applied to barley as well. However, ushchachua, they forgot it. And the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is hishne minei chitin, hishne minei sa'irin. That whether we're talking about a person planting their field with two types of wheat or two types of barley, it all depends on what his kavana is. Ask the Gemara v'Tanina, and we learned in a Mishnah, hamachlik betzalin lachin, someone who picks moist onions l'shuk, his intent is that he's going to sell them in the marketplace. Umakayim yaveshin l'gairin, and he keeps the dry ones for storage. Then in this situation, he has to leave two different payos as well. Now here's the question. Are you able to say that this differentiation of him picking to sell at the marketplace and him keeping it for the gairin, that's also part of the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and they just forgot it? That wouldn't make sense. It makes sense to say the wheat and barley were part of the same halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and they simply forgot about the barley part because barley is a type of grain just like wheat is. But this halacha that we learned is talking about onions and the differentiation between selling them at the marketplace or keeping them for storage is something that we would not have forgotten if it was a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So we see from here that we technically could learn from halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The Gemara continues with something similar. Reb Chananya says, "B'shem Shmuel, ain't l'meidin min ha'iraya." We're not allowed to learn something from a psak. Often we find in the Gemara that a certain tana paskind in a certain situation, maybe in a town that he went to visit, he paskind in a certain case. Or for example, we have Hira Rebbe Pliny or Hira Reb Tarfon Balud. So whenever we have such a case, we can't learn from that case which was paskind in to another case, as similar as it might seem. And the reason why is because we don't know all the details and everything that happened that led that Rav to paskin such a thing, so in Mela we can't learn from there. Chav Gimel and Beis on top. The Gemara continues. Hakol Maidin. Everyone agrees. Who's everyone? That's Reb Zeir and Reb Chananya. She'ein LeMaidin Min HaMaisa. Then we're not allowed to learn from a story. Often we have a story that's quoted by Brisa or Mishnah. We're not allowed to learn anything from what happened in that story. Again, because we don't know the details. Normally, Rav Mana told him Hadad the Tamar. This is only said by Hu de La Savar with something that is La Savar. Now, either La Savar means that the story that happened was not logical, meaning it was counterintuitive, so therefore we can't learn from there to a different case. Or La Savar could be talking about the person who wants to try to learn from the story. He's La Savar, meaning he doesn't know how to learn properly from the story, so it's possible that he's going to be missing out on details and he's not going to make a proper connection to a different halacha. But Ram, Bahu Savar, Avad. However, if we're talking about something that is Savar, meaning either a story that is logical and therefore we could draw a logical conclusion from it to somewhere else, or a person who's a Savar, a person who's a Talmud Chacham, who knows how to learn properly from the story, so then we could learn from the story. But Amalei, he responds to Rav Mana, Bein Savar, Bein Loi Savar, it doesn't make a difference if it's Savar or not. Bahu de Pliga, everything depends if there was a Machlaikes surrounding the story. If there's Machlaikes regarding what the Psak is in the story, so then we can't learn from it. Baram Bahu de La Plig. However, if we're talking about a story where it's not a machlaikes, Bein Savar, Bein Lo Savar, Avad. Whether it's Savar or not, we could learn from the story. And on to brand new halacha, halacha hey, the Mishnah tells us, Sadeh Shekatsrua Gayim, a field that was harvested by Gayim. Gayim harvested the field, and then they gave the grain to a Yid. Or Shekatsrua Listim, robbers, thieves, they harvested it. But then they were chased away, and the grain was left there. Or Kirsimu and Malim, ants came marching one by one, and they cut down this grain. They chewed through all the stalks, and the stalks fell down because of that. Shivarato ruach, or the wind knocked down all the grain. Abahemor, animals came stampeding through the field and they knocked down the grain. In all these situations, Petura, the field is pater from Peah. That's because the Pasuk says, Uvakutzrechem, when you harvest, and all of this is not considered the owner harvesting it, so there's no chiv of Peah. Now, a number of variations of the Listim case. The Mishnah says, Katzar chatzya, Vakatzru Listim chatzya, he harvested half of his field, and then thieves came and they harvested the second half of his field. All the grain over here, that which he cut and that which the Listim cut, is pater from Peah. Why is that? Shechaivas ha-katzer bekama. Really, the proper gersa should be shechaivas ha-peah bekama. The chayv of peah is with the standing grain. And we've already mentioned this previously, that when a person starts cutting their field, that's when the chayv of peah kicks in. But the chayv of leaving peah is not on the grain that he already cut, it's on the grain which is still standing. Now, the remaining grain which was standing was cut by Listim. And we already said that when Listim harvested, that's something that's not chayv in peah, so therefore, his whole field is not chayv in peah. Another variation, katzrua Listim chatzia. First Listim came and they cut half of it, but katzar chatzia, and then he went and cut the remaining half. Nice and peah, mimasha katzar. He does have to leave peah from that which he cut. The first half of the field that was cut by Listim is pater from peah, as we said in the Mishnah, but the second half of the field, which he harvested, is chayiv, so he has to leave peah for that second half. Another scenario, katzar chatzia. He harvested half the field, umachar chatzia, and then he sold the remaining half of the field. Halakeach, the one that bought the remaining half of the field, nice and peah lechol, he has to give peah for the whole field, even for the half that he didn't harvest. Why is that? So, again, because when this fellow started harvesting it, now the chiv of peah kicked in. So when he sold the remaining half of the field, the buyer bought the peah along with the field. So he has to leave peah for the whole field. And our last scenario, katzar chatzio of hektish chatzio, let's say he harvested half the field, and then he was makdish the remaining half of the field, hapay demiyad ha-gizbar, the one that redeems it from the gizbar, from hektish's treasurer, he has to give peah for the whole field. And now we just clarify the first case in the Mishnah. They were talking about Gayim harvesting the field and there not being a chiv in peah. Now, Masnisa b'shekatsru la'atzman, this is talking about where the Gayim cut the field for themselves. We have a bunch of Gayim that owned the field and they harvested it, intending to keep the grain for themselves. But then they decided, let's say, to give it to their neighbor who was a Yid, or according to some, this is talking about where they themselves became Gerim. So now we have Jews that have cut grain. In these situations, the Yid doesn't have to leave Peah because it was harvested with a Ptur of Peah. Avalim katsru li'Yisrael, but if a guy cut it for a Yid, chayeves, so that Yid is chayev to leave off Peah. For example, if the Yid hired workers to cut his field for him, and those workers were Gayim, since they were cutting it for the Yid, so there's no Petur and Peah over there. And Vitani Kane, who was taught so in a Braisa, ain't Seichon Peah in a Gayim, no hiring workers who are Gayim, Vipanesha Ain Bikin Beleket, because they're not Baki, they're not experts in Leket, and for that matter, Shecha and Peah. So we see that when Gayim harvest a field for a Yid, it's still Chayiv in Leket Shecha and Peah. The Gemara of Da'at Omar Alpha on top continues explaining the next case in the Mishnah, which we had said that thieves, robbers, had cut his field, and there's a Ptur and Peah over there. Now the Gemara tells us, Masnisa Bishkatsru La Abda. Irish is telling us that there's a Ptur and Peah only when they cut it in order just to ruin it. They wanted to destroy his crop. So they ran into his field, they cut his crop down, and then they were chased away and left everything there. So that's not considered a harvest, which is chayav in peah. But if they cut it without intention to ruin it, they actually wanted to take it for themselves. And over here, obviously, we're talking about Jewish robbers and thieves, because if they were Goyim, then there would obviously be a Ptur and Peya. So Chayeves, in this case, it's Chayev and Peya. They had cut it with intent to take it for themselves. That's considered stealing it. And that puts the grain into their Rishus. Now that they own this grain, so it means that this grain does have chiv and peah, and now that these thieves got chased away before they could take the grain with them, the owner is chayv to leave off peah. However, Amar Rav Yishai Bar Shimi, he argues with this. Vafilu tamu, you could even say, b'shekatsrua shaloi la'abda patura, that even if they had cut it without intention to destroy it, they wanted to take it for themselves, still it's pata from peah. Why is that? Me'achar sha'peah nitenes b'mechubel la'karka, that's because we know that l'chadchila, peah is left from something that's attached to the ground, as we say, that chayvas peah bekama, the chayv of peah is withstanding grain. Now, if it ain't karka nigzol, karka, land, can't be stolen. So yes, the robbers can steal the grain from him, but they can't steal his land. So when they go onto his land and they start harvesting it, they don't own the land. Then now we could say the owners of the land have a chiv and peah. They're just simply considered stealing the grain, but the grain is only considered stolen after they harvest it, and after it's harvested, there's no chiv and peah anymore. So even if they were harvesting it not to ruin it, they wanted to keep it for themselves, there still wouldn't be a chiv of peah over here, according to Rav Yishai Bar Shimi. We're going to stop here for the day. Pick up tomorrow, continuing to talk about this case of robbers coming and harvesting his field. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.